It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? We have the latest stupid TikTok trend. At 1:30, we look at which teams are squaring off for bowl season, including the Pirate facing his former school. Any mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. Today's conversation may include stories about a member of the Eagles and John Denver. I bet Jeff Ward is less full of you-know-what than John Denver was in Dumb and Dumber. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Ah, that's funny. Hour number two. I'm glad I ask questions sometimes before we go on the air, because sometimes it leads to good stuff on the air. Let's just get right into it on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, even though he is sitting right over there. It is Jeff Ward. Check out JeffWardShow.com live each weekday. We'll get to the 6 Minutes of Football podcast, which I love the title this week. A Masterclass on How to Win. We'll see which way Jeff's going with that.
That's pretty good. Who did that?
But before we get to that, I asked you.
Man, you're just giddy.
I'm very excited about this because you're a great storyteller.
Okay.
And we enjoy it when you have a story that has some cool layers. This one feels like it might.
Oh.
So I asked you about the Moody Center and if you had any concerts in mind, because you're a big music guy like we are.
Yep.
And you first thing that popped in out of your mouth was the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles are coming. Yes.
And then you asked me a question, which will lead us to this story.
Okay.
So the question was, have I ever told you the story of when I played golf with Glenn Frey?
Well, I didn't just walk in and go, let me name drop real quickly and be cool.
You led me into it.
You said, are you an Eagles guy? And I said, yes, very much so. And you said something like, are you into the reincarnation of the Eagles? In other words, post Glenn Frey.
Exactly.
And I said, it's hard because as a big Eagles fan, and it's hard for me. And oh, by the way, I should tell you my story about playing golf with Glenn Frey.
There it is. Okay.
With beer. A lot.
Oh,
and a lot of money.
If there wasn't a
money
lot.
Money I didn't have.
Oh, wow. Wait, you lost money to Glenn Frey playing golf?
Hang on.
Okay. All right. Lay it out for us.
All right. So,
And take it easy when you do.
Sure, I will. Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
Nice.
Dad joke.
Yeah.
I'll be here all day.
You want to work Desperado in there, too?
That's later.
That'll be cool.
We'll do that.
Be super cool.
We will do that later
on. So at that time in my life, I used to play a lot of golf. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I had a good buddy of mine I played golf with who was from Aspen, Colorado. And he was ran Aspen Golf Club or something like that, which is a pretty nice gig. He has hilarious stories. His are better than mine. He has a great story about Jack Nicholson throwing a 5-iron through a car windshield.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got some great stories. But so we knew each other. We played golf together. And I'm a fly fishing fan. I love to fly fish. And I would go to a little town near Aspen called Basalt, Colorado, about the same time every year and go fishing for a few days. So he said, hey, man, are you going to be up there? Whatever weekend it was, I said, sure, I'm going to be fishing. He goes, you should come over and play golf. I said, okay, I'll come play. Going to Aspen, we played one day. He says, you got to hang around for my tournament tomorrow. I go, you have a tournament? He goes, well, it's not mine. It's Danny Sullivan, the race car driver. Uh-huh. He has a charity tournament he has every year, and we got a shootout we're putting on tomorrow. And, we got space. Why don't you work your way in there? I said, what am I going to do there? Nobody knows who I am. He sets it up. It's a shootout. They have 12 celebrities, 13 celebrities, whatever the number is. You all start on the first tee. So I show up. I'd been fishing all weekend, so I head into Aspen, got my golf gear, and I'm out front. It's kind of raining. This beat-up Bronco pulls up, orange beat-up Bronco. Guy rolls the window down. He says, hey, are you playing in the shootout? I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, hey, can I just throw my clubs on your cart? Well, yes, you can, Glenn.
Like you knew it was him right away.
Yeah,
yeah,
what
yeah.
Do you mean?
No, I'm saying I didn't mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You were looking at each other to where you're like,
yeah, I said,
oh
yeah,
my
yeah,
god!
Throw your clubs on.
Yeah, what are you
gonna
say? No.
In, yeah, right. Like, whole ass, buddy, get out of here.
If it was Don or Joe, but not
right,
you, man.
Right. It was Joe Walsh, man. So I go, yeah, sure. Come on, let's go. And so we get over, sit down in the golf cart, shakes hands. Hey, Glenn, Jeff, yep. So he got a huge football fan. Was sadly, huge football fan. How he knew who I was, I have no idea. But he's that big of a fan, that big of a nerd.
So he knew who you were?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, he knew. He followed football and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd heard my name. He didn't know anything else about it. So he goes, hey, look, I'm going to get some beer. I suck. I said, oh, okay. Well, I don't suck, so we'll see. So we get on the first hole. He hits it dead in the street or whatever. He's eliminated first hole. Okay, we're on the same golf cart. Okay, we're just hanging out, starting to have some beers. I'm on fire. I win. I just keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. And people are dropping out. So we, of course, the whole time, Glenn, he's digging this, and he's just drinking beers, and we're talking football. He's just obsessed with football. So we talk football the whole time.
Yeah.
And more beer, and he's got beautiful friend with him. She's about 24 or whatever, but that was cool.
Glenn Frey.
Yeah.
That's well done.
Yeah. So we hang out. I mean, this is going on for a while. So we get to, I'm in the final two. We're 11 holes in.
Wow, you made it that far in?
That far, yeah. I'm on fire. I mean.
Now, again, are you just having to keep it in the fairway, or are you literally having to win every hole?
A lot of those guys were hitting it out in the woods and stuff, so you just pretty much keep it between the lines.
You're
okay. Except for one guy, really good-looking guy in slacks, who happened to be the husband of a very fit Chris Everett.
Oh, so Greg Norman
Mill
at the time?
No.
Oh.
Greg Norman was there, though.
Okay, I was going to say, that would be unfair to everybody else.
No. So Andy Mills, Olympic skier.
Andy Mills, the skier. So the two of us
are in the final group, right? We're in the final group. We just end up in the shootout. So hanging out, you know, just thinking, wow, this is pretty interesting. This guy's a good player, and I'm a fairly competitive person, so if you push me hard enough, I'll push back. So we get up there, the final green, the guy's the MC of the thing. This is after a few beers now with Glenn, of course, which
right.
If you're going to hang out with Glenn, first of all, I didn't want to get out of my cart to go hit a ball. I just wanted to sit there and just chat.
Right.
I just chat about stuff, that's all. And he just wanted to talk about football. So I get out of the cart to go up, and so the guy who's emceeing the deal, I think it was par four, fairly easy hole. We're both on there in two, about 25, 30 feet away. So to tell you what, he goes, everybody, there's not very many people following us except Chris Everett. He's kind of hanging out. That's a little intimidating.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm drinking beer with Glenn Frey and Chris Everett's watching.
Chris Everett's over here.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, she doesn't drink, though. But hey, Chris.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of got a type. She's into athletic guys.
Yeah, super. Super athletic.
Yeah.
And so the guy goes, these two are going to putt it off to see who wins the top prize. All right, whatever, man. Let's go. I putt, leave it 12 inches short or so.
Mm.
He putts, leaves it further out.
Okay.
Yay, Jeff, you win. Okay. Dude starts thumbing through the cash.
Whoa.
I mean, it's a lot of cash. I get the cash. I sit down, and Glenn Frey cracks. You know, that's like, what, lunch money for him.
Yeah, right.
He said, way to go, man. It's cool. I go, hey, I have like $6 on me. Had I lost, I would have been the one out. I didn't have any money. I didn't know we were playing for a lot of money. And I didn't have any money. I just had a six-pack of beer.
So as they handed you that money, that came from the other guy, too?
Yeah, it came like from all those guys.
Mills and all these other guys had to pay.
Who had all the money?
So they would have come to you.
I'd say,
and
hey,
you'd
Glenn,
have said, hey, Glenn.
Glenn, can you spot me $2,000, man? Yeah.
Can I borrow some cash, Glenn Frost?
Think he would have spotted you?
I don't know. At that point, he might have.
By that time, I think so.
He might have.
Now, was there any ingredient of, were you thinking, I want to stay alive in this golf event because I get to keep talking to Glenn Frey?
Yeah. It was, I didn't think it through that much because once you kind of get into it and we're hanging out there and this is going on for three, you know, it felt like it took us forever. Yeah, dudes, it would start with 11 people and nine of them are just horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so balls are flying every which way and it didn't matter. People are signing autographs, and there's me. No one's talking to me, so I can concentrate and play golf. Myself and notice how the two most nondescript guys in the group, myself and the good-looking guy, the skier who nobody knows except the people in Aspen.
Right, you'd have to be a ski freak to know exactly who he is.
Or I didn't even know who he was.
Or like I would have known.
I just
who
thought,
he...
man, who shows up and plays in slacks?
Yeah,
what's this guy doing?
The only way I would have known who he was is because I'm a tennis guy.
Yeah,
and I would have known that's Chrissy's husband.
I think
husband.
She dropped him shortly after.
Yeah.
So then I do that. Then we go back, have a few more beers, and then I got to go see them play there in Aspen. It was just him and somebody else. Can't remember who the guy was that night. So it was a pretty good night. So the next day, I'm in the celebrity tournament, the tournament portion. And so I'm walking around looking for my golf cart, and I see this thing. It says Ward, Denver. Yeah, whatever. Throw my clubs on. Go do my little warm-up routine. Guy comes over, says, Jeff. Says, yep, John Denver.
Wow.
Well, hello, John. Let's go.
Wow. Could have been Bob Denver, TV's Gilligan.
No, didn't think that.
It's John Denver.
John.
Musical legend.
John. A lot of nuggets, a lot of jewelry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait. John Denver played golf with finger jewelry?
It had like a big bracelet on. It was weird. And he was
Lots of nuggets?
Yeah, it felt like there's, you know, there's, I don't, just felt like there's a lot of jewelry going on there.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about a lot of cannabis.
No, that too, probably. So hey,
Is he rocking those round glasses?
He had some shades, yeah.
The round shades? Yeah.
Oh, was this in the Rocky Mountains?
Yeah.
So you were on a Rocky Mountain high then?
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
That was worse than mine.
He died shortly after.
Worse than, really?
Yeah, I think it was like that week he slammed into that cliff or wherever.
Yeah, he died in the mid to late 90s.
Let me tell you about him, because I could play then. I used to play a lot of golf, and he was ultra serious, as in almost offensive serious.
Really?
I'm thinking these people paid a lot of money to play with you, and all you're doing is lining up putts and getting on people's cases and telling them not to swing in your backswing. It's like, buddy, lighten up.
You're saying John Denver was an annoying golfer?
Annoying.
Really?
A good player, though. A good player.
Okay, he was good enough to be a little annoying.
Yeah, but not when he's a celebrity. Yeah, come on.
Took it too far.
Yeah, come on. Like, even I was going, settle down, man.
And I love the fact
that he's not that good.
And the music that, you know, the music he became famous for, far from angry, right? Yeah. And far from, like, attitude. That's not what his music was about. The idea that he was that way on a golf course is kind of funny.
I just think he was that way about golf. But so this buddy of mine who I'd been up there fishing with, I see him come walking over. He goes, Ward, he goes, you're freaking kidding me. I said, what? He goes, is that John Denver? I said, yeah, that's him.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. That is good stuff. That's good. If anybody gets into the competition of, you know, who have you played golf with, those two stories right there.
I feel like it's up there, yeah.
Right?
I do.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's well done. Glenn Fry in a golf cart slamming beers.
I once accused Johnny Rodriguez of stealing golf balls out of my bag. It was an awkward exchange.
Who is Johnny Rodriguez?
Walk down the hall, man. Where do you work? Well, go over there and talk.
Bob Cole's alias?
Yeah. He's a country artist. Yeah, pretty old school Texas country artist.
Yeah, that is old school.
Yeah.
That is old school.
Yeah.
You accused him of stealing from you?
Well, so I'm up at the tee. It was over at Barton Creek. I'm up at the tee. I see this dude. He's got a beat up hat on, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's digging through my bag. I said, hey, buddy, I didn't know who he was. I think I know my fair share of country music, but I'm not that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that far back. And I go, hey, what are you doing, man? He goes, looking for some golf balls. Well, get your own.
Right.
He goes, I think I'll play with you. I said, wait, what's your name? He said, I'm Johnny. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I said, well, hey, Johnny, go ahead and take a couple golf balls. And he probably hit it in the canyon or whatever.
And to be fair to you, that's not like Waylon Jennings was in your golf bag at that point.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny had his time and everything, but he, you know.
Yeah. But speaking of Desperado, though, he did Desperado.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God, he was bad.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I don't think it ever got off the ground. I mean, it just, every shot was topped.
Skull and everything.
Oh, yeah, poor Johnny.
That is bad. That's the kind of golf you want to be drinking. You definitely want to be drinking there. All right, so remember, Jeff Ward Show. You can go at Jeff Ward
That's
Show
it.
On Twitter. No, we're getting to the 6 Minutes of Football podcast. This is where we pump the sports part of your world. A masterclass on how to win, Jeff Ward.
Hold on a second, because we don't have a ton of time left.
We don't.
And I do want to get Jeff's thoughts on this NIL deal that was just announced for Texas. Like, we can push people to the podcast so that they can hear the full version of 6
Baylor.
Minutes of Football.
It's about Baylor. Oh, I was wondering if it was about Belichick last night.
It could just replace the two. It's about Baylor. I could not have been more impressed with their performance in the Big 12 championship game. That is the way the game should be played. That is how you tackle. That is how you get a push in the defensive line. Everything about them was impressive.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a fun school to hate because Waco is such a cesspool, but that was a fun football team to watch this
year. It really
year.
Was. I mean, they're just so efficient. I mean, they've been through, 3 coaches now in 6 years or something like that?
Right.
And look at them. Look at the brand. It's the brand of football they play that is such a breath of fresh air. In fact, in the podcast, I think I even say, in a way, the Big 12 is better than it's been in a long time. Mm. 1 through 6. It really is. It doesn't look the same because it's not 58-56, but those were 2 good teams playing on Saturday.
A lot of good fundamental running game.
Yeah, I mean,
they were both.
Oklahoma State was a better defensive team than people thought, and then Baylor just shoved them around. I thought the final play was classic. I admire the way they play the game, the way they approach it. Really do.
I dig Dave Aranda and his demeanor on the sideline.
Absolutely.
Still.
Yeah. They showed it too. They just. If you watch them, and particularly their secondary, when there's a Baylor helmet near you, you go down to the ground. Mm-hmm. You go down the ground. You don't. There's no yards after catch or care. You know, none of that stuff. They go to the ground. Those guys tackle like crazy.
Yeah, I've said it all year long. I hate how much I love watching Baylor play football.
It's really. Yeah, and I thought both of them were pretty solid, but Baylor was just the better team. That the way it ended was so perfect because that secondary of theirs I thought was just lights out. And I know they're not deep, and I think it showed up at different times throughout the year, but you give them time, those guys just play a rock-solid brand of football. It's so frustrating for Texas fans.
Yeah.
To look out there and go, that's how you tackle, that's how you pursue, that's how you have angles.
Yeah, no, it's you're right.
Yeah,
That's good stuff. All right, Trey, you want to get a thoughts on the NIL offensive line deal?
Yeah, what'd you make of it being announced yesterday that Horns with Heart is guaranteeing every scholarship member of the Texas Longhorn roster that is on the offensive line, $50,000 per season.
What I think of it is kind of what I told you guys in the beginning. These aren't really commercial deals. They're kind of handouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. That's what it was going to turn out to be.
Mm-hmm.
These are not commercial endorsement deals because no one's hiring these people. What it's going to turn out to be is exactly the process this is going to go through. You can round up enough people to give out enough money, they'll do it.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday.
And there is such a... I mean, I know people say, well, these guys deserve it. Okay, that's fine. But you have to acknowledge that a money factory like Texas has such an advantage over Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's true.
I mean, 4 phone calls, they raise a bunch of money to give it. Now, give it. This is not – I'm not demeaning these guys because they're not breaking the rules that I know of. I'm just saying this is not what people thought they were going to do, and that is, oh, you do an ad or you endorse a product, you get money. This is, we'll pull money together legally and give it to you.
How much of this for you is the stuff that was under the table is now on the table?
It's what I said before. I mean, right? the only problem is it will be above the table. This is above the table. It's even more money that's above the table. The problem is, and this is better than having a deal with an agent because they're going to want it back somehow. So,
they're going to want the money back, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, those are loans. Yeah. This is take it.
And
take it because you're at Texas. Now, again, when the tax bill comes, I don't know how that looks for some college kid.
Right. And I was going to say, Uncle Sam's going to want his part of the mix.
Yeah, good luck with that. I guess a CPA is going to be hired on Sarkisian's staff. Yeah.
Also, I heard an interesting comment yesterday from
But do you agree with that? That this is, in effect, just finding a way to give some guys some money because they play at your school, which is what I said at the beginning. It's what it's going to turn into.
But to me, I've always asked that question of what is so wrong with that. When I heard stories back in the day of, well, they offered this player this much money to do nothing or to do very little. I remember thinking, so? It's a booster of the school, and they want to. They're supporting a player that's there. Okay, that's like a perk at your job.
Yeah.
You find out that somebody that at your job wants to give you some perk or this or that or free this or, hey, you get a company car or whatever it is. Like, okay. Like, those stories never bothered me that much.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in that context, this one shouldn't. Unless, of course, you are Rice, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and you're saying, oh, well, if you say that they're second-tier status now, okay, they're going to be even more so second-tier status.
But don't they have their own version of something to offer? It's just less.
Who has as much as Texas?
No, not as much as Texas.
Okay.
Their own version of it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
if you're going to say, well, Texas Tech can give out 10, okay.
But also, I mean, you just mentioned Rice. I mean, we all know it costs a lot to go to Rice.
Absolutely.
So they have boosters and they have supporters that have a lot of money.
Well, unlike many other places, I don't think they care that much about football. They got more bigger priorities, like engineering and stuff.
I would bet you that there are Rice athletes moving forward that are going to, there'll be people making sure they drive nice cars. Is that fair?
I doubt it.
Really?
I almost went to Rice. I doubt it. Yeah.
You don't think Houston car dealerships, you don't think Rice boosters are going to pile money up?
Yeah, credit their alumni. They don't care.
You don't think?
I think they have better priorities.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I think this is a terrible. I mean, I went to Texas, and I think the world of the place, and I love it. I think there are bigger priorities than handing money over to football players just because.
Hmm.
I don't think it's a good look.
Okay.
That's my righteous speech of the day.
It was very righteous. I liked it.
But I mean, it's above board. You're exactly right. It's taking that was the theory behind all of it. Take everything that used to go on under the table, which a lot, I saw a lot of it, and put it above board. Yeah, okay. But it's not, you know, please don't mistake this as some sort of commercial business enterprise. It's handing money to people just because.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's giving you money because you play at Texas or USC or wherever. And you're not going to get any rice. I don't think. I could be wrong. I mean, it'd be great if I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
I don't think it's just because, though, there is a reason why these guys are getting this money. I mean, they are putting their livelihoods on the line to play football for the school. And, yeah, part of that value is getting the free education, but the value goes beyond that, considering how many billions of dollars are made from the sport each and every year. And you're right. Those at Rice care a lot more about putting money into the medical school, the law school, all the other great schools that exist within the university that is Rice, whereas with Texas and plenty of other schools across the country, they do care more about football. It's why when we see the college football playoff expanded,
right,
probably in 2025 at this point, unfortunately, according to the computer program that is Bob Bowlesby, you will see a more distinct separation between the Power 5 schools and the G5 schools. With the G5, they have their own division, their own playoff, and the Power 5 have their own division, their own playoff, because there is so much more money changing hands at the Power 5 level.
Yeah, look, if you want, I mean, that's the giant argument that's been around forever. Okay, look, if you go there, do you deserve it? Because they're making money off of you, do you deserve it? If you just want to leave it at that simple argument, then yeah, sure. Just give them money because they happen to be wearing a Longhorn uniform. That is if you fully accept, again, I hate to sound like a righteous professor here, but that's if you fully accept the football team has nothing to do with the school. If you want to accept that, then you can operate that way. But if you want to operate as if it is a part of the school and that you're not some separate entity that lives on its own, operates on its own, if you want to be attached to the school, then I think it's a little slimy. I think people donate money, can donate money any way they want. But I just think it further detaches an athletic program from the school, which is already pretty far apart right now.
Yeah, I mean, most.
And here's the sort of bleeding heart part of me. I played with a lot of guys who, one of the speeches I gave to a team not long ago, and they didn't like it and never invited me back. And I said, this place is using you and you don't know how to use it. And that's what's sad. These guys do not have the capability to go to college like everyone else. And they are being used. They are being used and they are spit out. If they don't play in the NFL, they are not getting a degree. They have no marketable skills whatsoever, largely, not all. And that's the sinister part of this. The system does use them, and I know you're going to say, well, they deserve something. They do. But they're taken to a campus with no chance to make it. They have no skills.
That must have gone over really well.
I said, yeah.
That must have been
I didn't say you don't have any skills. What I said was,
they're using
You've got to learn to use them like they're going to use you.
But isn't
the people
this
on the outside of that room went dead silent.
Because you are many college football players, and I know people don't want to hear this. Okay, you don't want to hear the curtain pulled back. You just want to think that it's all everybody claps for you all the time. The reality is a lot of players come from backgrounds and school districts where they do not belong at major colleges. They don't have the academic skills, and so they are sort of held along, sort of propped up all along just to keep them eligible with the hope that they might make the NFL, and most do not. And when they don't, life goes just back to the way it was because they don't have the skills to take advantage of the school itself.
But isn't this them then getting back a little bit from the system that's using them?
Yeah. No, it is. But it's not, you're getting short-term payment because you were there. Okay, so you got $30,000 and you're 22. Okay, I guess 30 is better than none. But you are not anywhere where people think these guys are. They're not mostly not getting degrees, and if so, not marketable degrees. They're beat up to hell, and they're not playing the NFL. And they're spit out and not any different when they were 16 and 17.
I think there are more guys taking advantage of the free education element of all of this than most of us realize. Just looking at the guys on the Texas roster who just graduated literally after 3 or 4 years with decent degrees, some of whom may try and grad transfer someplace else, some of whom may stay with Texas, some of whom may be done with football. But when you add a financial element to it, that they are essentially getting paid for doing this other full-time job, it does level the playing field for them as student athletes.
Hang on one second. Yeah. Two things. Number one, we need to start thinking about two segments every week with Jeff Ward. Number two, do you want to do it now? Or do you need to
sure.
roll?
No, I got a few minutes. But, look, the guy, exactly what my speech was. Okay.
See, this is why I didn't want to get into 6 minutes of football, because I knew this would take a little bit.
There's nothing wrong with the argument. Everyone's right in the argument. I'm just saying I think there's a deeper problem than what people want to acknowledge. And the deeper problem is there are not that many guys. Out of my college recruiting class, there were not many of us that went in that had any skills whatsoever to make it in college. We can hang around and you could take us to a tutor, not us, but a lot of guys go to a tutor, go to another one. You didn't really go to college like everyone else because they couldn't. Because the promise was, I need to keep you eligible and I need to try to get you to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds great when you're 17 to 23. Try 25 and you got nothing. Now, it sounds bleeding heart, and they would say, well, Jeff, but they get a chance. It's not the college's fault. You've got a bunch of 18-year-olds on football scholarships. Yes, they're worth money. Yes, it is a chance. But the majority of those 18-year-olds are not entering with the skill sets that make them belong in college. They're not getting in like everyone else. They don't have the skills, largely. Not all. The ones that do, that's why I said you've got to learn to use where you get a scholarship. You have to be skillful enough to use it athletically, academically, and socially. Use it. Use everyone there.
That's Jeff Ward, jeffwardshow.com. Check out the 6 Minutes of Football podcast focusing in on Baylor's win in the Big 12 championship game. Always good to see you, sir.
Good seeing you.
That is Jeff Ward. Every Tuesday, we'll think about either, you know, two segments or something moving forward. We have to collectively.
Not going to be that deep again. We have to Trey winning collectively, like a haiku or something.
We have to collectively bargain that. All right, also coming up, bowl games. Teams in the state of Texas will start it off, and then we'll talk about the Big 12 teams and where they fall in the bowl schedule as well. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
I can't conceive the nucleus of all begins.
Rolling through a Tuesday. Hope you're having a good one. Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, I've never heard this song before. It's called The Secret Life of Plants.
Hmm. Yeah, I just recognize the voice. I'm not familiar with the song either.
Yeah.
What a weird title for a song.
I know.
That's just one of those where I'm like, yeah, Stevie, maybe we want to go with another title.
Well, it's very subdued for him, too.
Yeah, exactly. Not exactly a funkadelic classic.
No.
Not exactly a groovy tune there, but very good. That singing voice is always good. All right, Trey, tell them why the Plant Life song found its way.
Yeah, we've got a new episode of Books on Pod out as of this morning with Bartow J. Elmore. His new book is called Seed Money. It's all about the sordid history of Monsanto. It's a great book, a fascinating chat that you should listen to at booksonpod.com.
All right, give me a time here. What do we want to do? I mean, it's time we should be breaking. So we're going to break. You mean to mention that UTEP and UTSA start the bowls on the 18th and 21st in terms of teams in Texas, and then we hit the break?
Yeah.
North Texas, Houston, SMU, they'll all play bowl games. Congrats to them. Tech and Mississippi State. Mike Leach playing his old team. That's probably the most interesting one that involves a Texas team.
Where is that?
I would have to look up where they are playing that game. I can do that for you here in one moment. Texas Tech and...
It feels like a Shreveport, Louisiana bowl game.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. They are Music City Bowl?
The Liberty Bowl.
Ah.
Memphis.
Oh, wait. Music City Bowl is Nashville.
5:45 in the afternoon on December the 28th. That's when they do that one.
Okay.
Leach against Tech. Yeah, I said it yesterday. I would have thought the SEC might have protected him from it, but you know what? He might have asked the SEC for it. They may have checked it with him and said, hey, you want Tech? And maybe they said yes.
The SEC, everybody talks about them protecting their schools, which they do a great job of, but they also have no problem pitting a matchup where one of their schools can look really good in a situation that people want to pay attention to.
Yeah, they.
And this is one of those where it makes sense for Mississippi State to face Texas Tech.
If this is their setup, which this is usually that level of bowls where they set it up, yeah, they're setting this up because they think it'll make the dogs look good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they are right, but that is a big one coming.
I need to make a correction here. I said Adrian Phillips played at Texas and then went to Miami for his last year before making it to the NFL. I was incorrect. Adrian Phillips played all 4 years here. Adrian Colbert was the Texas defensive back who went to Miami for a year and then actually did play in the NFL for a little while.
The two state of Texas teams I did not mention. A&M's going to play Wake on New Year's Eve. That's like an 11 a.m. kick to start that day. And then Baylor plays Ole Miss on January 1st. That is one of the more interesting bowl games that's not the semifinal that I'm looking for.
Is this the Sugar Bowl?
That is the Sugar Bowl. You've also got Iowa State against Clemson. You got Oklahoma. Oregon's probably one of the best matchups we have that's outside of the semis.
Alamo.
That's the Alamo Bowl. Oklahoma State and Notre Dame is a good one as well on January 1st.
How compelling is Oklahoma, Oregon at this point? With Cristobal gone, Stoops will have his guys ready to play.
You saw who else is gone.
Who else?
Kayvon Thibodeau's gone.
Yeah, he is.
Thibodeau thinks
he didn't play much this year, though, right?
He got banged up a little early in the year, and then I think kind of shut it down. But he's going to focus on the draft. A lot of people think he's the first pick, so he won't be in the Alamo Bowl. K-State's going to play LSU on January 4th, and that rounds out all the Big 12 teams in bowls. But there's some good
K-State
ones.
K-State plays who on January 4th?
LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snuck in at 6-6 with that bowl win.
That is an ugly game there.
And then Ed waved goodbye. That will not be Brian Kelly. But it will not be Ed Orgeron either.
So it's going to be the lame duck staff at LSU?
I think so.
Well, that has Kansas State winning that game written all over it.
Yeah, they had talked about the possibility of maybe Brian Kelly, but like I told you a couple weeks ago, it sounded like Brian Kelly had a better chance to coach that game than he did Notre Dame's game. And I think that is definitely still the case. All right, there's some bowl talk for you, and it all starts with UTEP on December 18th. And then how about the conference championship battle? It is on the 21st, but UTSA plays San Diego State. Both those teams won their conference. So that's a nice early bowl game that should have some substance to it. If you want to watch that, UTSA San Diego State's a good one.
Chad, we have our first report of a college team interested in Joe Brady.
Really?
And it is a fascinating name.
All right, we'll get you that coming up. Plus, where are we at in society? Trey's got the latest stupid TikTok trend for you parents to watch out for. What should your kids not be doing on TikTok? Trey will tell you on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
What do you got, Trey?
It's a System of a Down.
Yeah, it is.
Toxicity. Emphasis on the toxicity with the new episode of Books on Pod out as of this morning with Barto Elmore. He is the author of Seed Money. It's all about the history of one of the most toxic companies to this country and really the world at large, Monsanto. It is a great oral history. We have a pretty good chat as well that you can check out at booksonpod.com.
There are a lot of acts on my regrets list. System of a Down's on there now.
That's one that was right up your alley. Still is.
It really is. I get so happy when I hear their music. It's so complicated. It's so wonderfully like heavy and varied and challenging. And it's not always like it. You have to bring a little bit of yourself, a bit of something to it to sort of deal with what's going on. But they're extremely talented. And I wish I could have seen what they do to a crowd and what the crowd does for them, and just see them in whatever their prime was. I never saw System of a Down.
I went and saw them when they were touring for this album at Austin Music Hall.
Oh.
Which was a great place to see a show.
They tore the rafters out of that place.
And they were good. The problem was is that they were burned out. That was the big song for them, right? It wasn't Chop Suey. Was it Chop Suey?
Chop Suey, Toxicity, and what, Prison Song? Those are the three I always think of.
God, I love Prison Song.
Yeah, that's
great
my favorite.
In person. Yeah. I forget if it was Toxicity or Chop Suey, but one of those two, they were clearly tired of playing at the show, to where the lead singer like turned his back, and I think he actually pulled his pants down and mooned the crowd the entire time that he was playing that song.
Yeah,
and it's like, look, man, I understand.
That's not good.
You're tired of playing this song. You're asked to play it everywhere you go. But can you show just an iota of respect to the people in the crowd who are here to see you play every song on the set list, but may especially enjoy this song?
Yep. Got to be willing to play those songs over and over again. And that's a fantastic track right there.
If you don't want to play the song, just don't play the song.
Yeah, right.
Don't play it in a way where you're disrespecting the crowd at the same
time. Perfectly agreeable there.
It's like Radiohead. Hated the song Creep, refused to play it in the States because that's the song that got them big in America, which, whatever, good for Radiohead.
I'd rather you not play it than half-ass it.
Overthinking it, exactly.
Right?
I respected the fact that they didn't play it versus them playing some convoluted, stupid version of the song.
Yeah, I got stories like that from bands all throughout the years, whether it's the Black Crowes with a certain song or Queensryche with their big hit because they didn't like the ballad being a hit. That's fine. Just don't half-ass it, though. I would not want to see them just, you know, mull their way through it. Trey's doing stuff with the Poison, Toxicity, that kind of vibe, because there is a new podcast at Books on Pod. Sounds like a happy conversation, Trey.
You know, Bart, as he is known, Barto is such a cool name, though I can't help but to say it. He is a really good researcher, puts the boots on the ground, goes different places to find out the history of Monsanto in a number of places, not just here in this country, but across the globe. Ends up going to Vietnam for a little bit because Monsanto was the biggest supplier of Agent Orange during Vietnam. So he goes to Vietnam to study the after effects all these years later of all the Agent Orange that was sprayed on that country during the Vietnam War. But he's also incredibly eloquent. So he does a great job of explaining some of the different ways Monsanto has just been screwing the people. And by people, I don't just mean the general public, also their own employees, literally going back 100 plus years now.
All right, so check that out at booksonpod.com. Coming up at 2:05, we'll get into some NFL Week 13 stuff, cleaning up from last night, the craziness of the Patriots win, and how everything will set up for Week 14. Right now, though, where are we at in society? We have a warning for you, parents.
Where are we at in society today?
You know, I was critical of the guitarist for System of a Down mooning the crowd while they played their popular song. I guess I should apologize to everybody who listens to this segment each and every day. I do pull my pants down and moon the crowd from the producer's booth every day during this segment. And it was with that, Chad, that we present the latest stupid TikTok trend that is taking over the social media platform. It's called door kicking. Chad, any guesses on what door kicking consists of?
Door kicking. Okay, so if it's a TikTok thing, door kicking. Is it, I don't know, just seeing how hard you can slam a door closed with your foot? Or is it kicking like the edge of the door and seeing if your toe breaks?
It's neither of those things, actually.
All right.
It is literally going to random places and trying to kick the door in like you are a robber. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, like random businesses or houses?
It looks like it's more homes than anything else. But police are alerting schools, parents, and community members of a potentially dangerous challenge
you think?
Seen on TikTok, which encourages others to kick in the doors of homes. In videos shared on TikTok, young people kick doors to the beat of the song Die Young by Kesha before running off.
Wow.
Some use enough force.
I like the song.
Where the doors are kicked open entirely. Now, I guess the place where this is most prevalent right now is in Petaluma, California, where the police department there said danger is heightened when people are unfamiliar with these TikTok trends and interpret the prank as a real life or death situation. Quote, those participating in the door kicking challenge don't know which door they're about to kick, and you don't know what ways they'll protect that could cause real harm.
Well, yeah.
When people think their home or family is threatened, they're going to give an equal response to protect their family or property.
And that response will be legal.
Legal and potentially lethal.
Legal, lethal, fake, could be fatal.
Now,
wow, that's crazy.
TikTok has not responded to a request for comment. Shocked by that.
Oh, yeah.
In September, TikTok told Fox News it does not allow content that promotes or enables criminal activities, as is written in the site's community guidelines. TikTok's statement was in reference to a 15-year-old Florida student who had been arrested for stealing school property as part of the Devious Licks Challenge that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Right, right. Now, this doesn't involve stealing, does it? This is just the damage of property? You're just trying to get the door open, and then you've won, and you leave?
I don't even know if you're trying to get the door open. You just kick it as hard as possible and run off.
Wow. Oh, I see. Okay.
But in some instances, if you're kicking it that hard and it's a cheap door, it will cave in. I mean, you will kick the door open.
I tell you what, I don't care whether that door opens or not. If you kick that door, you better run. You better find a speed you have never found before, because the owner of that establishment, business, house, whatever, in pretty much every state has the right to answer with bullets.
Yeah, it would take a lot of force to kick our front door in, but if you were to kick it hard enough and it caught me off guard enough and I was close enough to the door that I could see what was going on and open it, I'm gonna chase you and I may catch you. And if you're a teenager, I'm probably not gonna do anything other than scare you, but I'm gonna make sure that you are thinking twice the next time you consider doing something,
man,
so stupid.
That is wild. That is wild. Yeah, that TikTok could become bang bang very fast, kids. Please. This is what I'm not understanding, Trey. Like, got to walk through the... I'm not asking you to be me and have the OCD and always think of the worst possible result, but come on. Kicking a random door? You really don't know where that could lead? You haven't done the math on that?
It's idiotic.
Come on, kids. Uncle Chad and Uncle Trey need you to think through that process, please. All right, there you go. The latest stupid TikTok trend. That's definitely something, parents, if you know your kids are involved in, you're going to want to talk to them about that immediately. 2 o'clock hour coming up. NFL Week 13 cleanup. The Patriots got a wild win last night, and guess what? They're the number one seed in the AFC. We'll go over that and the rest of it coming up on the Horn.